Jerry Bader Show, 10:35. I have a couple of predictions about the State of the Union address. I think the first one is really easy. Really easy. The Democratic response is going to get rave reviews. Almost guarantee it. I mean, do you recall how the Republican respondents retreated through the Obama years? Marco Rubio and the gulps of water. They always found a reason to diss the person based on presentation, delivery, whatever. In terms of political arsenal, Democrats have chosen to go with a familiar weapon, i.e. a familiar name, Representative Joseph Kennedy III will be delivering the response. Seen as a rising political star, Massachusetts representative, shocker, with a famous last name, will deliver the Democratic response. Top Democratic leaders in Congress made the announcement Thursday, calling Kennedy a relentless fighter for working Americans. Kennedy is the grandson of the late Robert Kennedy, former U.S. Attorney General and New York Senator who was assassinated 50 years ago in June. He is also the great-nephew of both the late Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy and the late President John F. Kennedy, of course, because they're brothers of his grandfather. He is 37 years old, has kept a relatively low profile, political profile. There are other choices. So they're not looking, at least in my opinion, they're not looking, are the Democrats, to showcase anyone who would be a presidential contender. They may want to wait a little bit on that. That's my first prediction. My second prediction is that there will be a mutually agreed upon narrative of what President Trump's address is. It was angry, it was defiant, it's going to be something like that. What I don't want to predict per se, but I want to, my anticipation or my hope is that two things. One, that he brings clarity to exactly what he's proposing in terms of immigration and really makes the case for it. I thought generally what he said is a pretty good compromising position. Of course, everyone hates it. The hard anti-immigration right hates it. The open borders left hates it. It's just, and that's thus it has ever been with the immigration debate. That's the reality. The other thing is I would like him to double down, triple down, quadruple down on his energy policy, on the things he has said, expanded drilling and so on. You want to get people excited. The New York Times had a really, really, really good piece on this. I shared parts of it with you yesterday. And I honestly think that that's just such an important in everything, national security, economic security, just jobs, on and on and on and on and on. One of the great missteps by the George W. Bush administration, accepting that we're running out of oil and we need to transition to ethanol, that was a disaster. The things that I do point to with praise for President Trump, none greater than energy policy. I would really like to see him focus and fixate on that tonight. I know he's got to talk about immigration. He's got to talk about other things. He's going to. I would exercise a little caution in talking about the roaring stock market until we see the closing bell. The Dow has been in retreat the last couple of days, down 177 yesterday at the close. Trying to figure out where it is right now, if it'll let me do this. I'll tell you exactly where it is. It's down 304.41. Now, the Dow has still been soaring and a couple of days of retreat. Don't change that. to Fred in Wausau. Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, Jerry, I have a question for you, and I don't know that you'll know the answer, but I'm wondering, because I heard you say earlier that this memo is now up to Donald Trump. He can sign it right now or in the next 5 days and release it to the public. Is that correct?
It's my understanding, yeah.
Okay. Could he decide to release the memo, I don't know, tonight, and then read it verbatim as part of the State of Union?
Oh, you're right. I don't know the answer to that. Do I think it's possible?
That would be pretty powerful stuff.
I think it's entirely possible. It's got, in fact, Fred, you should work for the president. It's got the hallmarks of everything he loves. I mean, it is.
Yes. Attention.
Oh, yes. I mean,
look at me.
It does. And the unexpected. People think I'm insulting the president when I say this, and I'm not. He's a brilliant showman. He is an absolute brilliant showman in terms of timing, surprise. And I said that when he was running, that his strategy in running looked like it was taken from the manuals that radio program directors teach, you know, in terms of compel the audience, so on. Oh, boyfriend.
Yes, sir.
I won't stick.
Do me a favor.
Yes.
Since you said I should work for the president, put in a good word for me.
Yeah, I'm like the last reference you want for a job with Donald Trump. I'm just throwing that out there. Fred, thanks. Not the last, but I would be pretty low on the list. Earl, let's do this. Let's play the audio again from yesterday. This is Jordan Peterson, and this is an exchange. And boy, a sharp-eared listener pointed something out. In the tease, I said not using the correct pronouns rather than the preferred pronouns. That's the whole debate. I should have said preferred pronouns. I guess you can't even say correct pronouns anymore. But he is a Canadian academic who was in what turned out to be a debate with a British Channel 4 host. And there's a much bigger story here than most people realize. But this exchange where she is, what they're talking about is a Canadian law that mandates that you use preferred pronouns for transgender. And he doesn't agree with the law. He says, look, I will, out of courtesy, I'll call them what they want me to call them. And this exchange has gotten a lot of attention.
Let me move on to another debate that's been very controversial for you. And this is, you got in trouble for refusing to call trans men and women by their preferred personal pronouns.
No, that's not actually true. I got in trouble because I said I would not follow the compelled speech dictates of the federal and provincial government. I actually never got in trouble for not calling anyone anything.
Right.
That didn't happen.
You wouldn't follow the change of law, which was designed
not
to
once
outlaw
it was law.
Discrimination.
No.
What
they said it was designed to do.
Okay. You cited freedom of speech in that. Why should your right to freedom of speech trump a trans person's right not to be offended?
Because in order to be able to think, you have to risk being offensive. I mean, look at the conversation we're having right now. You know, like, you're certainly willing to risk offending me in the pursuit of truth. Why should you have the right to do that? It's been rather uncomfortable.
Well, I'm very glad I put you on the spot.
Well,
I'm very glad that I have exercised
my
point.
You get my point. It's like you're doing what you should do, which is digging a bit to see what the hell's going on.
So
and that
you,
is what you should do. But you're exercising your freedom of speech to certainly risk offending me. And that's fine. I think more power to you as far as I'm concerned.
So you haven't sat there and I'm just trying to work that out. I mean,
ha, gotcha.
You have got me. I'm trying to work that through
time.
In my head. Yeah, it took a while.
It did, yeah.
It took a while. You have voluntarily come into the studio and agreed to be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
A trans person in your class has come to your class and said they want to be called
That's
she.
Never happened. And I would call them she.
So you would. So you've kind of changed your tune on that.
No, I said that right from the beginning. What I said at the beginning was that I was not going to cede the linguistic territory to radical leftists, regardless of whether or not it was put in law. That's what I said.
Now, that the whole interview, she was in that approach. Peggy Noonan wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. I want to share that with you in 3 minutes because I just think it's really, really good. It's 10:46.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.